Hello and welcome to Soul-Led Living, a podcast dedicated to helping you live your soul's true path so you can create the dream life you know you are meant to live. I'm Nikki Novo, your spiritual mentor, a fiery Latina, mom of three, and an advocate for living soul-led. You're here because you're meant to be here. So let's do this. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Soul-Led Living Business Edition. It is not just me today, which I'm very excited about. I have two of my favorite people on with us today, two female entrepreneurs that I look up to and that I'm so proud of and excited to have them onto the show to talk about, because we kind of like grew up as baby entrepreneurs together. So we're just kind of getting here and talking about what it's like to be at it for a while and share wisdom, but also share like funny things that haven't worked. So I'm excited to introduce you to my two friends, Melanie Fernandez and Tiffany Dominguez. Tiffany is the owner of Tawdry, which is this really beautiful jewelry company based out of Miami. They do everything is customizable and handmade by the women. It's all women-owned business and all handmade, but really, really beautiful. So welcome to the show, Tiffany.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. I'm loving our little reunion right now.
Yes. Reunion, because the last time we were together all in person, which is crazy, was like right before the world shut down. We went to a Rachel Hollis Charleston conference, which is super fun. I was just thinking, like, when we were texting that we were like, oh, when I go to Miami, we're going to grab wine. And I was like, and I'll pretend I'm not going to grab wine. And then say, because like when we went on that, when we went to Charleston, like it was just an exhausting, like all day conference. And then at night, it'd be like, let's go get some wine. Let's go hang out. And I would be like, no, I'm so tired. I'm just going to like write in my journal. And then like 2 minutes later, I was like, just kidding. I'm going to go get wine with you guys.
You would do that.
Remember, I was like, I'm like, no. In my head, I was like, no, I'm going to be in my pajama. And I'm like, yeah, right. Fuck that. I'm going to the restaurant. So Tiffany's beautiful work. Really excited. I love, she does have a showroom. I guess sometimes you have people come and be able to purchase, but it's not like always open, right? But that's where all the jewelry is made.
Correct. Yep. So we do have what we call our jewelry box, because it's a box, and it's our showroom and workshop. But in the past, especially the last like 2 years, we've really evolved to having more people come shop in person, and we're offering more like in-person experiences. And this is where we make and ship everything out of.
I love it. Like, it just like, it looks so fun. And I've been there a few times, and they call the women that work there from the Todd Squad, which is super cute. And there's always somebody like making something. So it's just a really beautiful creative environment. So that's Tiffany. And then we have Melanie. So hopefully you guys can understand all our different voices. Obviously, you know my voice, and then you'll have to distinguish between the two other Miami voices on this episode. But we have Melanie Fernandez, who is the owner of House of Lilac, which is a premium flower company based in Miami that delivers flower bouquets and arrangements all across the city and ships curated gifts nationwide. But Melanie actually started, I remember when she started it, and she was starting it thinking that she was going to kind of do like customizable gifts, and then ultimately got pregnant with her second child. And I remember you saying that Margot really was the kind of the inspiration to flowers, and the business has remained a flower company, super successful. If you guys watch any of my videos, I usually have some dry flowers, and those are from Melanie's shop as well. Tiffany, I have like the necklaces that, you know, say like my wedding day and like the names of my kids and stuff. So you'll probably see me wear those as well. So welcome to the show, Melanie.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Like I said, guys, I own an online business. I owned a service-based company with my husband. So I haven't yet ventured into, and I say yet because like you never know, into more of like product-based brick and mortar, which is definitely like what the two of you have going on. I have a lot of respect for that, because I sometimes think what I do is a little easier because the profit margins are bigger, the overhead is smaller. And I think it's just like really brave to do like what you guys are doing. And I think that when it actually works, which you guys have both been in business for many years, it's like a huge accomplishment. So I just have a lot of questions, just like nosy, you know, kind of nosy questions. But first, I want to start off with, both of you are at your core creators, similar to me, where it's like, okay, yes, I do the readings, like I'm like the talent in many ways, but I'm running the business at the same time. So Tiff, like, I know that, you know, there's like stories of you making jewelry at home, and Melanie, you know, still, I know you still do, both of you are still making, like, you're still making some flower arrangements, you're still making some jewelry, Tiffany. So I was wondering, like, you know, and Mel, I'll start with you, like, kind of how are you balancing both being like the creator and the visionary, and like also the, you know, the person that's running the business?
I mean, I will say, I think it gets easier once you start delegating, which is a whole journey in and of itself, delegating your work. But, you know, for me, it's just planning things out. Like, I've been doing this for long enough where, God, I've had like cycles, right? Like, there's like times when like I completely dry out and like I have no creative energy. I honestly can't, like, we're here, this is your business. Like, my sacral is like done for, and I'm like, I cannot create one more thing. So the business part just kind of carries me through it. And then I have moments when I'm like, wow, like, I am ready. I want to create. I want to make new things. I think with any business, one like mine especially, you start to learn things at work, right? So in terms of the creating, like, what's working for people, what's not working for people. And I think that helps, like, motivate, right? Like, it helps me find, like, pockets of, all right, so, you know, I've been doing this for long enough where I know that I have to get the spring collection for the dried flowers up by, you know, it launches in 2 weeks, for instance. So, you know, we're going to start that right after February, January at some point. So it's also just getting organized, to be honest. I mean, that's probably the hardest thing about being an entrepreneur, an owner of a creative business, right? Like, creating and then running payroll, which is me, right? Like, like, figuring out our insurance. And I am the one that does all of that. Mm-hmm. So I just have to just allocate, like, figure out my days. Like, Mondays are going to be admin days. Those are the days when I'm going to deal with my bookkeeper and accounting and whatever else. And there's a lot of stuff I delegate now, like sales tax. Like, I haven't filed sales tax in years. Someone else does it for me. So it's a journey.
I think and we're all three like kind of similar in that way that I think as a creator, to be a successful entrepreneur, you kind of have to enjoy or be okay with the other aspects of the business too. Because if like you only want to be a creator, you could be handing off a lot. And it's like hard to, I don't know, kind of trust people to do those other things. So definitely like the organizing. And I would imagine, like, do you think you're hiring based off like who is creative and you're like, I trust this person to make a flower arrangement? Or are you more like, this is how I like flower arrangements made and this is how it's done? And you kind of like that E-Myth vibe, you know, where you just like you plop in the person that you know could make the way you want it to be made.
That's also a journey. Employing people is my least favorite part about growing a business, I will have to say. I used to hire based on someone that would do what I wanted them to do, but it's so much more than that. I think for me at this point, it's finding people. I've hired a lot of people that it doesn't work out. So I hire someone that, yes, I can mold into someone that is my style, but has to be creative in some way. So it doesn't have to be necessarily with flowers, but maybe they work with their hands well, for instance. Like, maybe they, you know, they can, I don't know, was a hairstylist or something like that. And then I have to hire someone that can fit with my team. Mm-hmm. And I mean, when I say that, I mean like everything that goes with it. Like, we have like occasional, we laugh, but we have these blowouts over greens, foliage that we bring into the shop because I run budget. And if I have to buy too much, I freak out. And then we've had like these crazy blowout fights. And then if you just have to be someone that's there and you're like, yeah, this is just one of those, you know, this is one of those greens fights. So we get over it really fast. All of us, we're like, we got it. We're a small team. Like, we have to, you know, that's the understanding, is that when you're growing and you're five people, you're going to have these moments when, don't take it personally, but we're really stressed out right now. So if you can't fit with that, it's a lot.
I remember I used to rent some space. You know, every once in a while I'll be like, Melanie, I need to get out of my house. My kids were young and she had her flower space. So I would like you know, just rent like a little chair every once in a while. And definitely like hearing the loud voices was like the best. I was like, this is so much fun. Like, listen to Melanie.
It's high pressure. It's high pressure.
It's high pressure with those, with that overhead.
I mean, we do a lot at this point, right? We also, because there's a perishable side. The perishable side, I mean, think about it. I'm getting flowers in and getting them out in 3 days, like thousands of dollars worth of flowers. So that, if things aren't like running on time, efficiency, it's a lot. And then we have like my dried side that's national and it's shipping, and that's a whole other thing, right?
Yeah.
You know, and it's a lot. So I think it's just finding the right person that, number one, you can mold, but that also fits with your team, right? Like, I need someone that's going to wear like 7 different hats.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you might have to pick up the phone. You might have to, and you'd be surprised. There's some people who don't want to do any of that stuff, right? It's like, I'm a designer. I'm here to flower and I do nothing else. And I can't, like, that doesn't work for me. Like, I need someone that can jump around. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? Like, I have freelancers that I hire all the time, just depending on season. But it's someone that I'm going to put on payroll. I need someone that's just going to grow with us. And so it's a challenge, but it's all process of elimination.
Yeah, especially as small businesses, how you were saying, they have to be able to wear, like, multiple hats.
Yeah, I mean, I pray for the day that someone doesn't have to wear 50 hats. Are you kidding me? Can you imagine, like, one person does, like, these 3 defined tasks? Like, that's when I've made it big. Yeah. When someone doesn't have to
Would imagine, right? Like, I think the same thing. Like, I guess, like, that is the difference between a small business and a large business. Like, a small business, you're always wearing multiple tasks. But then when you get into a big business, that's when you, like, those the corporate jobs where they're like, you're so specialized in what you do. So, Tiff, how do you feel for you with that kind of balancing? I love, Melanie, that story about, like, you know, some days my sacral is, or some weeks or some months, my sacral is just burnt. And it's beautiful because you're like, great, I'll just focus on the business stuff, which is really nice.
I'm just gonna coast. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, when something's ready to be birthed.
Running,
How do you manage, Tiff? Do you have more of a flow?
I would say for sure things are seasonal. I'm also very like seasonal based because I'm very like gifting oriented. But in general, for me, balancing the creativity, while I do very little jewelry making anymore, I would say probably like 10%, not even less. I still like to do it because if I think about when I really first started, my passion and my love was creating the jewelry. So I feel like I need to fill that cup and I need to, one, also have a pulse on like, how long does it take? What are the techniques we need to have? What materials do we need to use? How can we change these materials? So I feel like not only the creativity, but just to be able to run the business, I like to have my hands involved in that aspect. And while it's very little, and in fact, I'm like, my crafters, I tell them all the time, I'm like, you guys are way better than I am now. Like, they can just craft so beautifully and their techniques have really advanced. So I would say on balancing, I still do a little bit of it. I used to have a flow that like, similar to Mel, that it was like, okay, one day was an admin day, one day was a jewelry making day, one day was, now it's a little bit different, especially since I'm much more business side / the face of the business, growing the business, head of the finances, less on the building, if you will, and you know, the other like smaller day-to-day stuff. My team, thankfully, have had a lot of the girls for a long time, similar to Melanie, who have also grown and evolved with the business. We do have a really nice like workflow. So I would say how I balance it is I make sure to allocate some time each week into the jewelry making, especially when we're coming out with new products, more on just to know, you know, even getting down to like, how are we going to present this? How are we going to price it? How many are we able to offer? You know, things like that is kind of what helps me with that balance of like creativity and working.
Because you get into it for the creativity, obviously, always, like most people do. Mm-hmm. But then you realize, oh, wow, it's 25% creativity, 75% being a good business owner and knowing how to run the business. What do you think like makes that 75% like interesting enough for you to kind of keep pursuing? Like, is it like, oh, I want this to work? Is it, do you find those aspects fun? Like, how does one keep their interest when really like the tides begin to switch into less creative and more really like leader and overseeing everything? I would imagine, I guess, like every small business owner has like their strengths, you know? I find entrepreneurship very creative in itself. So it really interests me and it like calls my attention. But I know a lot of people, let's say, that are similar to me, that are just like spiritual teachers, or let's say they're really intuitive and they like to do readings, they have a hard time growing a business because there's a lack of interest in the business side. And I don't think you'll ever know.
100%. I was going to say, it's funny you say that, because one of my like pet peeves is when like people tell me, when I hire, I say, I don't just own a flower shop. I run a business. I run my brand as a business first and foremost. We're not a traditional flower shop where, I mean, besides the fact there's a scalable part to my business, right? Like we do much more than just local, but everything I do it with a business mind. I agree with you. There's an interest for me. Like, I think that entrepreneurs, it's like a calling. Everything's a calling, right? Like being a doctor is a calling, like being anything very kind of specialized. I think being an entrepreneur is such, it's so up and down and everything changes so much that if you're not up for it, if you're
built for it, you know?
Yeah, and learning all the time because you're always learning new things. Yeah. It's like, it's like every single day with our finances, I'm like learning something new about like how best to save money or how... And me and Tiff were talking about it, right? Mm-hmm. At the beginning of the year, we were talking about like savings accounts. I was like, I have like 10 of them, because I realized that if I have 10 savings accounts under different like topics, it doesn't freak me out. But that's me, right? Like you, Nikki, might need two because you can manage two. You learn a lot about yourself as an entrepreneur. I think it's like the craziest journey.
For sure. I can see how you were saying, Nikki, how like some true to the core only creatives maybe aren't going to like the business side of it. So I'm like, I can understand that. I feel like similar to both of you guys, I really resonate a lot with like the entrepreneurship side, the business side, the marketing side. I actually, my degree and everything was in marketing. It wasn't necessarily like in entrepreneurship. So I have such an interest in that. And I feel like what drives me to really keep focusing, let's say on the business side, is also like the mission of the brand of Tawdry and what we like stand for and what I want to also like put out on the world beyond the jewelry. So that then is for me on like my motivation, like, okay, yes, it's, right. You know, it stinks sometimes. I just like that. I tell the team all the time when I'm frustrated, I'm like, I just want to make pretty jewelry. I don't want to have to be worrying about the finances and the goals and what things we're going to come out with. You know, like, I just want to play with pearls. Like, can I just do that? So sometimes that is what I want to do, but then it's like, okay, no, I love that I can employ a women run team that are moms and I can provide this great, you know, workspace and culture. Like, I love when people come to us. Oh my God, they give us a call. Like, a baby was just born today. Can you, you know, get all of the birth details? I'm going to pick it up at this time. Like, and we can make these beautiful, meaningful pieces. I love when, like, you know, or even sometimes when people pass and they're like, I have this funeral to go to, but I want to gift somebody something that they can keep close to their heart and we can create a beautiful piece for them. So I just love, you know, overall what Tawdry stands for and what we're able to do. And that helps to be my motivation. But I get it. Yeah.
Right. It has to be bigger, I guess, than the, like, it's almost like the flowers and the jewelry, the like intuition, whatever, is really the vehicle, you know, but there is like a bigger vision. But it's almost like the thing that attracts you into like our spaces. But the idea is that there's something bigger behind just the flowers or the, you know, just the jewelry or just the readings.
I also think entrepreneur business mind comes before the creative. So when I say that, I mean, it's like we are entrepreneurs with like a touch of creativity. Like, I think there are many days when I think to myself, like, wow, I got really lucky that I'm a good florist because I do. It's something that I'm really good at it. And like, I taught myself a lot of it, self-taught, but I have an eye for symmetry. Like, I have an eye for design, but first and foremost, I have my background is business, right? Like, I went to law school. My first eye on anything is always going to be the more analytical mind, right? Like, when I'm launching something, like we were talking about it yesterday, like with Tiff, she's trying to grow a new product line. And I told her, I was like, how can we scale this? Like, that's where I go.
I love that.
Like,
yeah.
How can I, what can we do? And like, I'm like harping on it. Maybe it hasn't been revealed, but I'm like trying to give her all these ideas because I feel like that's the way I feel about myself. I'm like, I'm like an entrepreneur that got lucky that I'm a good florist. It's like,
yeah, well, you find like something that you like. Yeah. I told the kids when they go to college, I was like, study whatever you want to study, but at least get a minor in business. Cause I just feel like you have so much freedom when you know how to make money on your own terms. And I think that at the end of the day, that is what entrepreneurship is like, I'm so passionate about shoes, But that doesn't get me anywhere unless I know how to sell it and I know how to run the business and all that. So I think it's, yeah, I guess you kind of, at the end of the day, like, have to love business just as much as you love, like, whatever craft. Yeah. You're doing. Tiff, what is the new line?
One more in expansion. Thank you, Melody. This is just a perfect
it's a marketing. This is exactly. Part of my plan. This is part of my plan to scale.
I love it.
I told her, I was like, at the end of this year, it's my make it or break it year. I'll just go work for you if it doesn't work out. Like,
I would love that. That's too funny. But I you know, that even aside from that, before we get into like the new like product line that I really want to like expand, I think it's so cool right now. And that us like entrepreneurs, and for everybody that's listening, that we can provide a space to like talk about these things, share these things, and really joke around like, hey, if this doesn't work, I'm gonna go work for you. Earlier this year, I told Melanie, like, can I move in with you? Like, I might have to move offices. Like, can we just be roommates? So I think it's cool to have this entrepreneurship group. But for me, as I've had Tawdry for, it's about to be 15 years. It's Tawdry's quinceañera year. So this is also my like, she's, you know, she's gonna be 15. It's her quinces. She's giving me that teenage trouble, you know, as the brand has evolved the last 15 years. So of course, as the product, and we're really going more into like the fine jewelry, a lot more better quality, a lot more into like the permanent jewelry. That's been a huge trend in the industry. And then just for us as well. So we're really expanding on the permanents and the fine jewelry. So I was, you know, talking with Melanie last night, and she was helping like to give me different ideas on how that can also be scalable. In addition to, I want to continue through Tawdry as the brand, you know, and for those that don't know, I'm like, we're very much about like female empowerment, spreading joy, spreading love, supporting other women through, I like how you worded it, the vehicle of jewelry, but like, you know, through the product of jewelry, I want to do more of like community things, less product, kind of more like service-based. So there's so much that I can learn from you, Nikki, as like a service-based business, as I want to like expand more into that. But
I'm going to put it in my little like meditation box in my head. That's very interesting. Ooh, actually, one of my questions, which I'm not going to ask you guys yet, but one of my questions was like, have you ever thought about quitting? And it's like, what time of the day?
Yeah, of course.
It depends.
Yesterday, I was working with Tiffany yesterday.
I am CMO today of Tiffany's company.
I mean, not to harp on it, but it's just so funny how it really does. There are days when I'm like, all right, that's it. Like, I'm done. End of 2022. Or no, 2023.
Yeah. Whatever year we're in.
One of my favorite moments was like just getting so mad that I just like applied at some editor jobs, like just kind of falling back on like what my background is. And I was like, oh man, this sounds horrible. Forget it. I can't quit my job. You're
like, and then 20 for me, there's something astrologically that happened in 2024. But whatever it was, I was like, oh, born again. I was like, I'm going to do it. We're back.
Yes. Yeah. But I think that's normal. So actually, so that brings me to my next question, guys. I wanted to talk about innovation. And I think innovation might sound like, you know, I don't know, AI, but that's not really what I mean. And especially in both of your industries are very trend-based. I guess there's two ways to run your kind of businesses. Like, we can just stay with our classics and like have the Tawdry look or have the House of Lilac look, or kind of move with the trends as well. But personally for me, so I've had the last 4 years doing a few things that really work. You know, I do programs and things like that, and they were just really working. And I've been doing that for 4 years, and it felt good doing that. But lately, I started to, I guess, kind of get bored, like, with what I've been doing for the last 4 years. And since I'm not really, like, trend-based, it's not like my colors have to change or something. But I have been just feeling like I want to create something. So I think I was, like, almost more in the stage of, like, the entrepreneur, like, fixing things and running it. And I was really enjoying that a lot. And I was good with my product. Like, I didn't feel like I needed to change the product. And now I'm realizing, oh my gosh, like, I think there's something new coming through me, which I don't know what it is yet, which is pretty frustrating. But also there's a part of me that like, well, I could also just keep my head down and like keep doing what I know what works. But then there's a part, like there's an intuition in me that tells me that that's actually what like would kill off a business if you are not innovating, if you are not listening to like what needs to be created new. So for example, like Tiff, you were saying, like I'm thinking that it sounds like you don't have it yet, but you're like, it's something kind of service community, it's something there. And it would be so much easier to just like keep doing what you're doing and do good. Like if you have a bracelet that's killing it, just like go all in on the bracelet, right? Like sometimes like that sounds easier to do, but then there's always is pulled to innovate. And I wonder how you guys like balance that, if you've had experience with that already. I mean, I think Melanie, you innovated with dry flowers at some point. I just wonder if you guys think about that at all.
I have grown my business by listening to people, listening to my clients, listening to what they want, listening to what people want. I am a big proponent of, I wouldn't call it necessarily for me as much innovation in terms of like style. Like, I don't know, like, you know how like fashion, like, okay, what's on the runway? For me, it's not so much that. I think, quite honestly, innovate just based on feedback and what I like. I kind of just try to listen to myself, like, what am I into? Like, what do I feel, quite honestly, like I would want at home? Right? What are people telling me that they want at home? Like, what are customers asking us for? And how can we monetize on a lot of that? So my goal is to always be attuned to that. Like, what are people asking for? Like, what's selling? What's working? Okay, how can we take that product and now make it better? Like, how can we, are we changing it per season? Are we changing the size? Should we add vases to it? Like, what are people wanting at home? And a lot of it is kind of like what I want too.
Okay. So know. Innovation I, based I off like to... your, you know, like your customers feedback. Plus like where you're, yeah, and yeah. your style. Okay. So if you feedback, seem yeah. like when I look at all the different lines you have, it seems like you guys are coming up with new ideas all the time, I would imagine.
For sure. I see it as more as evolution. Like innovation then, of course, but I see it as like a constant evolving with, especially for me, it's important to incorporate the trends, but always keeping it to our tawdry classic style materials, you know, stuff like that. Like I love and I try when like, if you see something, I know obviously I can pick it out. I can see somebody down the street and I'm like, oh, that's tawdry. Besides the fact then that we made it, but there is a, you know, definitely. Style design and branding like to it, but it doesn't mean that we're not innovating. Like I'm not just going to say I love the example that you gave of like, okay, this bracelet continues to work. So let's only do that. Right. No, like I do think we have to evolve going down to like the brand has evolved. The example that I gave as I've grown up with tawdry the last 15 years, so has my taste. So has my customers. I have a lot of the same customers from day one. And we continue to evolve / innovate into different things. While at the same time that it kind of goes like into feedback, of course, is like so important, but also doubling down like what's working. So I'll give the example, if you will, of like innovation, right? As we were talking about the last time we saw each other was the pandemic and everything shut down. A lot of my sales and stuff was done in person. Thankfully, I was still able to run online. So we innovated / evolved, if you will, with doing these lives that we called the sip and shops where we would sell now on these Instagram lives. Call it innovation, call it evolving with what we had to do at the time. And that worked. Perfect. Those worked for me maybe for like a year and a half. It stopped working. Time to innovate / evolve again. What's going to be next? So I feel like you do constantly have to keep changing and growing with your business as we do as people, as we do with what's going on with the world, you know?
Like if you're not listening to that, you get in trouble. I think also when you were saying like, I just want to hang out with pearls, like to me that was like, oh, that's like Tiffany's like inner child. And I think there's always, I think the inner child is really like the version of us that is so playful and like doesn't care about the balance sheets and doesn't care about all those things. Mm-hmm. And there needs to be like a place to listen to her. Because I mean, not that she's going to have like all the answers, but she usually has like some good ideas because she's kind of the version of us that like kind of helped us get started. And then having to balance that with like what I like to call like the momager. So like, mm-hmm. you know, balancing it with like the manager of like, okay, cool. Like I like that idea, but how, like where Melanie's obviously a great momager. Like she's like, how do we scale this? Like what goes on from here? That kind of stuff. So I think, yeah, it's like the balance of that. And I would say I have not been listening to my inner child enough. And then she started like screaming like over the last, like kind of when I moved here, I would say. Well, so now I'm in this place of like having to listen.
What I was going to say was there's this book by Rick Rubin called The Creative Act. I don't know if you've heard of it. Part of what he gets at is that I think there has to be some connection with intuition when you're creating product. Because I think that there's a time and place when creativity just comes through. You know what I mean? Like there is intent, like there, when things will be, they will be, and they find vehicles in people to come through. And I think as an entrepreneur, so much of what you do is listening, right? Like what do I feel like I have to put out there? And I think that those moments come and go, right? Like,
mm-hmm. And there's a balance of listening. Like, you know, of course you want to listen to your customer because you want to make things that they like and that, you know, that makes them keep coming back. But I think sometimes listening too much to the customer makes you not listen to yourself. And I feel like there has to be a balance between the two. Like, I always think there needs to be like this circle of like what you love, what you like, what they're willing to buy. And it's always like that crossover between those two circles. Yeah. So being able to both listen to ourselves and to the customer. And sometimes I think there's some seasons that you're just really listening to the customer because you're trying to make a product that works. And I was there for the last. And now it's like, okay, now I have to balance out like listening to myself as well. We talked a little bit about like, have you ever felt like quitting? And obviously we don't have to go into it, but it happens. Like, I think that's important to know as entrepreneurs that there's a lot of hard days that you just want to, you know, go and move to like Mexico and run like a stand-up, you know, paddleboard company or something. Yes. You know, so we have decided that. But another question, like if with all the knowledge you know today, and let's say for whatever reason, you could not run your company anymore, like you were not allowed to run this kind of business, but you're an entrepreneur. So you're obviously going to run another, you're going to run another business. Any businesses that you like would be interested in running?
One where I can travel endlessly and work from my couch.
Okay. So you would definitely be like, brick and mortar, like I probably would try something that's not brick and mortar because that obviously is what ties you.
Right. So I would do something that I can do from my computer. I feel like there's a different version of my business that is from the computer that I still mm-hmm. haven't even like tackled.
Oh, in many okay. ways.
Like, I feel like that still exists for me. Yeah. And it's okay. an extension of my business.
Like you're very like
yeah.
called to that.
Yeah, I am. I have been called to that from the beginning. And then like, mm-hmm. But I feel like I've had to build foundations. I was talking to Nikki about this.
I got you.
I've had to build foundations to get there. Yeah.
Guys, those of you who are not in Miami, you don't know this, but both Tiffany and Melanie's stores are like staples. Like if you're a woman that like is from Miami, like you have bought something from both of them. It's like just a, you know, a thing where we come from a tight knit community and we all know each other. And they're very important staples in our city and our society, all of that. So I find what you guys do so important because as you know, I moved a few years ago to a small town outside of Asheville, North Carolina. And what's exciting about this town is that there's like a ton of opportunity. And, you know, retail space is inexpensive. People are moving here. It's like super exciting to be here. And since my husband does real estate and development, it's like a perfect place for us. And of course, there's dreams of like taking the little downtown here. And I've met so many young families that like they want to start these businesses. But obviously, you know, even just seeing what we went through with COVID, it's scary to open a brick and mortar shop because like it's kind of more unpredictable than doing something online. But I find it to be like super, super important. I want to find a way to like support that process. So with that said, you guys have a very strong, I would imagine that kind of what holds you over is that strong, loyal base of customer. Do you have any idea how you guys built that? Like, because there's companies that will stay around for a long time too and not have such a strong base. Like, do you have any idea like what makes a strong customer base?
I feel like the relationships, you know, like I really with that, with like with customers, maybe it's more tied to Tawdry since majority of what we do is personalization. There is this certain like relationship that you build with the customer, even then if it's online. But I feel I'll give the example of there was a big event this past weekend that we worked, you know, in person here, like a carnival, if you will, like Carnival on the Mile that's in our neighborhood, in our backyard. And I was working the event and I had told like Melanie and some of the girls we were chatting yesterday, I'm like, I was working that crowd. But I'm like, I will know anybody that walks by. I say hi. I give hugs. I give kisses. How are the kids? Like I really try with my customers to build this relationship. And it's like, if I've known you my whole life, I'll show them pictures of my kids, etc. Just to give that example of, I feel having a friendship and a relationship with your customers, with your community, with your social media followings is what helps to bring and build that loyalty. It doesn't happen overnight. It's time. But I feel like that's something that helps, that I'd like to focus on, that I feel like helps to differentiate Tawdry. You can buy jewelry from anywhere. You can buy flowers from anywhere. So it's like, what's going to make us different and what's going to have us have that connection with our customers and with our community?
Yeah, I love that so much. I mean, I would imagine like if you guys Tiffany has these really beautiful pieces that, like, let's say you have three kids, you can put their names on your, on the necklaces. So I'd imagine, like, you know, when they come, they're like, hey, I need another necklace because I had a third child. You're like, oh my gosh, congrats. Like, you know, you remember the first child, you remember the necklace with only one name on it. And yeah, kind of you get to go through that journey with them. That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Mel, you were saying consistency.
You know, for us, it's, there's a huge customer service component to it, but there's also consistency, like just being really consistent. Like if you fail at something, like, okay, fixing it ASAP, right? Like, how can I retain this customer, customer retention, right? Like, how do you keep people coming back? For us, it's like quality, like you make promises of some sort, but follow through with them, right? Like, okay, hey, like it matters to me that what you think, so let's make it right. And like, that's the stuff that people feel cared for, right? Like when people feel cared for, they're going to come back because, you know, they appreciate that. So for us, it's just, it's the consistency, not only in the work, but in continuing to show up for people. Like, hey, what is it that, what do you need? Oh, you need this? Okay, great. Like, let me figure it out for you. And I don't mean like customizing, because out of, trust me, we are not like, we, whatever flowers I have for the week, that's what you get. And you don't get upset. But
you get what you get and you don't get upset.
And we are so big with that. But you know, if it's like a, if it's a repeat client and maybe they're a subscriber, we have a big subscription program, then, you know, we make things happen, right? Like, we make them happy, because at the end of the day, those are the people that come back. And I also think just pushing through, like a lot of businesses, people give up. It's hard to run a business, right? Like, trust me, we've had many exit points. Like, I have moments where I could have been like, drop it, you know, throw the towel. Like, I'm done. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. But it's like, it's the keep going. When you keep going, like, things just work out.
Definitely. When you cross, like, when you push through those hard moments.
Yeah. And a lot of people, other similar, you know, we've had, there are other florists in Miami and they're great, but we've been around probably the longest, right? So there's something to be said about, and trust me, I know how hard it is to run a flower shop. It's not
roses.
No. And the way that we do it, it's volume based. It's hard. And we somehow do it well. So that keeps me going. Like, all right, I'm going to keep going.
For sure. And even then, to answer your question, like, we kind of answered it, but did it on, like, do we have moments where we want to give up or anything? Like,
yeah,
all the time. And that's normal. Like, I feel like something that I struggled with, and that's why then I even want to, like, share, is, like, that's also part of the journey. And it's okay sometimes if you want to give up.
Yeah.
And it's okay if, sometimes if you do. Like, I've really had to realize that, like, Tawdry is not Tiffany and Tiffany is not Tawdry. You did a great podcast, Nikki, on, like, how to separate them. And that one really resonated with me, too. But anyways, going back to, like, there's moments that we want to give up. I really almost this year, I'm like, this is probably, like, the first time I've ever shared it, like, publicly. But this year I was really almost like, I think this is it. I think this is it. I don't know, you know, and I let myself sit with it, because for so long I would be like, nope, that's not an option. That's not an option. Like, you got to keep going. But it's okay if you sit with it and really be like, and if this is it, that's okay.
Yeah.
And we're going to move on to the next thing. But then there's something like inexplicable motivation that drives me to keep going. And that's when I even know, like, okay, no, there's something here. Like, Tawdry's meant to do big things and we're going to keep on. But if there's some moments you feel like you're going to give up, that's normal. And that's okay.
It's frustrating. It is frustrating.
For sure. For sure.
I think what kind of the difference between, let's say, doing this or staying as an attorney, Melanie, like, you could have done that, right? Like, you could have, you know, Tiff, you could have been the CMO of Royal Caribbean, you know? Like, yeah, there was other.
Sounds boring. No, you know what? Other... Many people do it that are happy. So I don't want to keep them happy.
Yeah, and I, for sure. We're just, like, cut differently. But I think, like, it's the change and the journey and, like, the hike and all that or whatever that, like, you know, that keeps you going. And my husband had a business for many years that we closed down when we moved here. And that was an interesting experience because, like, oh my gosh, I think many of us would think, like, if we would close down, we would be quitting. And seeing him, it was like, oh no, it was just the end of an era. It was like the end of this time.
Yeah,
and to see, like, Yeah, to see what he's birthing now is really cool. So I think that, and as an entrepreneur, maybe it's boring to have the same company forever and ever. So that could definitely be an option. I actually we're filming today on a Thursday, and my episode today is about, should you pivot, should you give up, or should you just change, or something like that. So it's a good episode. Mm-hmm. So let's say you have a young entrepreneur that wants to start similar businesses to you guys. Any tips or tricks or things that you would suggest? Starting with you, Tiff.
Buckle up. Oof. Oh my gosh. Get your, yeah. For sure on that, on buckle up, I feel like it's a roller coaster, and you have to know, like how we mentioned earlier, like you have to be built for it, because it can be very, the roller coaster could be very dream, right? But I would say something that has particularly like really helped me in these last few years is like really know your finances. And yeah. Really know what it takes. What do you need to price things at? What are your margins? When should you hire somebody? When should you let go of somebody? All going down to like the finances. Melanie helped introduce me, and I feel like now I've been hearing it a lot on that book, Profit First. And I was like, why am I reading this? It was then my like 14th year of business. I'm like, why have I been in business for 14 years and I'm only reading this now? But hey, yeah. It's all part of like the learning. So my number one thing, and I'm like, I wish I would have known this when I started Tawdry Day One, is just like, know your finances, always put profit first. Yes, we need to reinvest in the business, of course, and we need to like all of that, but we also need to make money. So that would be my number one tip. Read profit first, know your finances.
And I think I'm going to piggyback on that. What I would say to anyone, my kids or whoever needed to hear this about starting a business, is it's a journey. It builds on itself. So there's so much there. It's like looking at someone that's like in the middle, 10 years into starting a business, you look at them and you think, wow, how did they get there? But there's so much that you have to learn in between to even get to that point, right? Like you can't go zero to 100, right? Like even with the finances, like, yes, there's a lot of stuff that you can learn off the bat. You can price your, you know, right pricing, margins, the whole shebang, the savings and the profit. But then it's not, your business changes, right? Like you get more employees, and then you start spending differently, and then you start buying things, and that you, and then you learn from there. Like, do I really need this? Do I not? Like, how do I make this better? And everything is just, it's a learning experience, the entire thing. Yeah. There's no point A to B. Like, it's no direct line to get there. You're just like zigzagging, and then like you stop, and then you get frustrated, and you're like, what the heck? And then you read a book and you're like, why did someone tell me about this? And then, you know, two steps back. And that's the most difficult part about it. But I feel like that's the journey, right? Like,
totally.
You know, you look back, I look back 8 years back, and I think, wow, there's so much that I know now, right? Like, who would have thought?
When you're an employee, you don't see that there is somebody in the company, as big as the company, whatever size the company is, there is somebody in the company who is on that roller coaster, who is in that journey. It's just, it's kind of like being a child. Like my 18-year-old might know that my husband and I are arguing, but my 6-year-old probably doesn't, because he's like lower down on the totem pole, right?
100%.
So, like, I think that that's hard when you're like an employee, you're like, oh, but I remember working for that company and they looked like they had everything together. And it's like, oh no, it's just that you were a 6-year-old in that company. You were like maybe working, you were the only person like making the necklace, and that was your only job. That was your only responsibility. So you had no idea. But if you talked to like the director of marketing, like she was very aware that you were, guys were trying to figure things out.
It's kind of isolating sometimes, right? Because that's why it's good to have entrepreneur friends like us. But the other day, there's a lot of my business on the every day that I don't deal with anymore. Like, to be quite honest, like if you want to place an order, don't call me, because I am, my staff and my team will joke, like, I am the worst person to ask, because I have no clue what routes are going out. I don't know, because I'm doing a lot of other things, right? So I had one of my couriers, my head of ops was in the back, and she's the one that gets him out the door. And he looks at me and he's like, oh, is this on my route? And I looked at him and I said, honestly, I don't know. And he looked at me and he said, what do you do here? He knows I'm the owner. He's like, what do you do as the owner? Like, you don't know about this? And I'm like, yeah, that's the point. I don't know about it because I'm the owner and I'm doing a million other things.
That's
true. But it's fine. Whatever. I didn't take it personally. Hilarious. I mean, I get it. It's kind of funny. Like, how do a person from the outside, would think that I know everything that goes on, but I don't know for the most part as owners, like me and my business partner, Nikki, like, I don't know what orders I get. And that's okay, right? Sometimes until they're there, whether it's maybe it's a bigger order and yeah, we find out maybe I'm on the floor and I know that day, but so there's a lot.
I don't know what's on my schedule. So I'm the same way. Like don't try to book a session with me by texting me because like I do not know what's happening in my schedule. I really show up like as talent. I'm like, okay, today is 9:30. I have to do this. Yeah. And I'm like told what to do in many ways. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the same. Like if I have to deal with a customer service issue, like I'm not, don't call me. Like I'm also like, no, like I'm not the nicest when it comes to it. This is why there's people on my team that are much better at it and they can do it.
Can I give you, as we wrap up, can I give you predictions with your companies? Yes. Okay.
Give it to me.
Tiffany's like, this is what I came for.
Yeah.
I know. I think there's a lot of similarities going on. And Melanie, I think, is probably like maybe less aware of it than Tiff is. But it seems like you're both being kind of asked to go outside of your comfort zone and like get on the road and talk about like what you've done. And I think this episode is like kind of like part of the beginning of that, because it looks like there's an opportunity to raise the profile of both companies and like almost get opportunities from that. Like it almost looks like you can't, your strategy is not going to get you to some of like surprise opportunities that you're like maybe thinking about. Like there is no linear strategy that's going to get you there, and where it's going to come from is from like surprise opportunities. And it feels like it's from raising the profile, and which means like raising your own profile. Does that make sense?
Like becoming an influencer.
Yeah. Like, well, like getting on the road, like getting on, like, I'm going to see if I can pitch myself to be like a host, like to be like a, you know, like a judge of this like reality contest for entrepreneurs, or I'm going to go on these podcasts, or I'm going to go on these things to talk about like being a female entrepreneur. And it looks like that raises the profile of what you've done. And that's like your best use right now. So I think it might be helpful to kind of ask the business, what is the best use of you right now? Because it almost looks like, I think for all three of us, we might be used to being utilized a certain way in the business. And we're like being asked to be used another way right now.
Basically, we are the talent that needs to just be the talent that walks in the room.
Exactly. Walking salesperson. But yeah, I mean, Tiff is getting it. She's like, I was at that show and I was talking to people and I was worried.
I mean, I get that. I feel like my work is what gets me there. You know, for me, it's I need to be more vocal with the work so that I can be more vocal with the journey. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like And I know that's like that is my year. Basically, that's 2024 for me is elevating that like that platform for the business and for us so that we can then elevate ourselves like.
Yeah.
As what, you know, whatever you want to call it.
Grow.
Yeah. Cause I see like luck and opportunities there, like doors, but they have to be, you have to be able to see them for them to even to open. Mel, I forgot your signs. What are your astrological signs?
Aries, Sun, Leo rising, and Scorpio moon.
Okay. That's what I thought. I knew there was Scorpio in there. And you, Tiff? Do you know?
So I'm Aquarius, and then I know that I have my Gemini rising, but I don't know the moon one.
The moon or whatever. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You like talking to people.
And she likes those like.
Well, my Leo rising is the reason why I can get in front of a camera and like, I'm like, okay.
You must have like Pisces or something, Tiff. Like maybe like a Pisces. Yeah. No, Tiff.
Tiff
like must
does,
have.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, I have none. I have none.
No, you're like mainly. Yeah. And that's part of it. So, well, I love you guys. This was super fun. Do you have anything else?
Thank you.
Anything else to say before we get going?
This was great. So
it was so fun.
We love your podcast and we need to go back to Charleston.
Let's do it. Can we plan? Hey, this all goes with it. Let's do like, besides Miami, when we go have wine, let's go on the road and let's do like something. I don't know.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, guys, we're going to put it here. You let us know.
If you plan it.
I'll plan it.
You can plan it.
I'm the planner.
Guys, I'm going to drop all the links for what they do because I just know you're going to love like what they're doing as well. And I hope that you follow also their entrepreneurial journeys because behind all the pretty pearls and the pretty flowers and the pretty pictures are exactly what we talked about, like some like really serious business people. And that's who I think we need to be learning from because I know so many of you are like watching the girl on Instagram being like, let me tell you how to run a business. And she's never run a business before. It's like a little part of me dies when I see people call them business. Just a small part of me dies when they call themselves like a business coach and they haven't actually run a business. So these are the people we really want to be learning from. So thank you so much for coming on. I love you both so much and I can't wait to see you soon.
Love you. Thank you.
Bye.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. I love you guys so much. If you have a sec, I would so appreciate it if you would leave me a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Those reviews are so helpful. And if you're ready to start living your soul-led life, pick up my latest book, Soul-Led Living, available on Amazon. Until next time, love you much.